Rebecca, I didn't know if you... Did you have a song? You were on the calendar, so it's okay if you didn't. All right, no problem. Hey, man, how many are ready for the word tonight? We're going to have Brother Wade come out. Let's just sing Word of God Ever True.
Holy Word, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound.
True. Can't depend on anything else, but you can depend on the Word of God. It's ever true. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here in the middle of the week. God bless you. Good to see you smiling faces. Lord be with you. Rest of the week coming up. The world's in a turmoil, but that's all right. We're the people of God, not the people of a party. So we sure appreciate the, I thank the Lord for putting us here. If not, then you need to go somewhere else. I'm talking about not in this physical place, but in this message and giving us an insight and giving us revelation of what's coming. And we know what's coming up. We know what's going to happen. We may not know exactly all the details. We may not know the name of the people. But we know for a fact that the Antichrist is going to take over. All right, so it's not going to be the President of the United States. We know who it's going to be. The prophet told us who it was. So the President of the United States is just a puppet. Just a puppet, and whoever pulls the strings, you'll never know it. But the world will know it one day because he's going to quit hiding, and he's going to step out when we get out of here, and he's going to say, hey, I'm the one that's been running this place. Start worshiping me. All this other stuff has got to bow down to the Antichrist. But thank God we know one thing's for sure. The prophet of God said we will not be here. Amen. So we won't see it. We may see the workings of it and the coming of it, but we're not going to see the fulfillment when he walks into that temple and says that he's God. We know where God is. He's in his people. Remember that this weekend, Brother Bob will be speaking on Sunday, a regular service, one service, just like normal. And I'm leaving tomorrow, and I'm going to Kentucky for about a week or so, and I'll be back on, Lord willing, on Saturday next week. Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Remember the church dinners on the 17th. Remember what, Sister June, you got it down on the board. Everybody just go by and read it. Pretend you're reading it, but you know what to bring. Want nothing grass. Nothing with grass in it, sister. But sisters bring a large dish, and we need 10 sisters to do a certain thing. You just go down there and read it. And we've got, we'll have a time of a fellowship that whole day. We'll stay here and let some of the young kids. We've got a couple of bouncy houses, and we'll put them up outside and let the kids have a time, and we'll have a time of fellowship. And then we'll have we should be the most thankful people in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Like I said before, we could be that group out there that's worried whether this one's a Democrat and this one's a Republican and this one's a this and this one's a that. Man, some people just get all bent out of shape about it, but that's all they got to be bent out of shape about. I want to be bent out of shape about the Word of God. Amen. Amen. If we would be as passionate as they are in their rallies, if we would be that passionate about the Word of God, we would get out of here. We would. I mean, it's just, you look at the fervor that they have. I mean, thousands of people shouting and screaming over a politician. Wow. Anyway, remember also, Brother Tim Cross will be here on the 24th. Brother Land will be here the Tuesday, the 26th. We'll have church service on Tuesday night, not Wednesday night, on Thanksgiving weekend, which is at the very end of the month now. So we got a couple of weeks. So just keep us all in prayer. We got a lot going on in December, but we'll announce that later on. But just remember the church dinner and all that. So if you would turn your Bibles, we're going back to Malachi like we were this past Sunday. I got some real good comments on the Daniel 70 weeks. So we may break that down again like that. And I know it's... It's hard to understand because you have to take a Jewish side of it, all right? Because
right.
It is to the Jews.
Right.
But then there's a spiritual application to us.
Yeah.
And it is a timeline that tells us where the woes are placed and the vials and the plagues and even where the seals come in. Because the seals are to us, but as they open, what is the sixth seal? It's the tribulation. So it's over there when the Jews get their message, and they're fighting and getting out of there. Sixth seal goes to them, and then Christ comes back and gets them and takes them in a rapture. So it all intertwines together. So it's just real nice to be able to understand, though, instead of having a lot of questions. Thank you. I don't have any more questions now, so if you want to bring some more, we'll have some maybe next week or next month. Spiritual progress is like a detoxification. Think about it. We detox everything else. Let's detox some sin.
Right.
Let's detox some wrong ideas and wrong living. And what is that? That's a purging.
Yeah.
We purge. When we detoxify, we purge and we get rid of all the garbage. Well, let's have a spiritual detoxification.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God will do. It'll clean you out.
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you give us. We appreciate, Lord, the people that are here tonight, and we pray, Lord, that you be with the ones that couldn't get here, Lord, that are sick. We ask your blessings on them, Lord, as they watch in, Father, all the ones on the internet, different places, Father. I pray that you'd anoint them, Father, and just bless them with the Word of God as we are sitting here today, Lord, under this anointing of the Holy Ghost, that you'll speak to your people, Father, and that you'll move me out of the way and you be the participant in this service, Lord, and just move on the people. Move among them and move in them, Father. I pray that you'd bless each one now. Take care of us, lead us, and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, before we read this, I want to tell you a little something. Some of you I know are watching The Chosen. If you hadn't, then you need to. It's a really good, it's like Brother Jason Watkins said, it's a human Jesus. A lot of the others have made him something so high and mighty till he, like Dad said, he used to think that Jesus was so much God he couldn't stuff his toe. Well, this guy that plays Jesus, I mean, he's real. You know, he does a really good job. And that Dallas Jenkins, you know, he knows Neil Havila. They were together for a while. And so he may know a little bit about the message. Who knows? But, you know, I was watching last night, and you see the woman that touched his the hem of his garment. And you realize that, tears were rolling in my eyes as they're beginning to now, because that girl, we say, oh, she had faith, she touched his garment, she was made whole. I know all you sisters that are here over about 14 years old, you know what she was going through. But she was not going through that as a monthly cycle. It was every day. Every day there was issue of blood. Every day for 12 years. But not only that, let's go back into her life. Her daddy kicked her out of the house because, see, everything she sat down on was unclean. Everything she did, everything she touched, according to the law, was unclean. She couldn't go in the temple. For 12 years, she couldn't worship in that temple because she was unclean. But praise God, she met somebody. But I never thought, why did she say, I just let me touch his hem? Because if she had touched his skin, he'd have been unclean. In her mind. This is the rabbi. This is the one I want to get to him. Oh, I can't get to him because if I touch him, he'll be unclean. Well, she just didn't know who he was, but she knew he was different. So that was wonderful how she reached under and grabbed that blue and white cord that he wore around his waist, and she pulled on it, and he said, virtue, or somebody touch me. And then her issue went away. What a powerful thing. I know you've never went through that, but for 12 years, go through something for 12 years every day that you can't even find. She couldn't get married. She couldn't have no friends. If she had that issue, everybody that touched her was clean. Everything she touched was unclean. That was horrible. That was a horrible 12 years. But you know what? The whole process, the way I was thinking, I said, God, you allowed that to happen. You let her suffer through that for 12 years just so that she can show people there can be songs written about her. Right. If I could but touch the hem of his garment. Their sermon's been preached. Her faith, Jesus said, you're clean. Right. Oh my, when Jesus looks at you and says, you're clean. Hey. Right. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. When Jesus tells us we're clean, we're clean. Amen. That's why he looked at that high and mighty preacher standing there, the priest, and he said, she's clean. Well, when he said she's clean, that was it for me, you know. She was clean. So same way with me and you. But to have something like that, to let her go through that, knowing he'd meet the master, knowing she would meet him, but letting her go through it for 12 years just to be able to do that, and then forever, for eternity, to be known as the woman that touched the hem of his garment. Right. And the faith, Jesus was looking, he said, I'm just so full of joy. And she kind of looked at him and said, because it's your faith. It wasn't him, it was your faith. Right. And he was going, you remember, he was going to heal Jairus's, he was going to raise Jairus's daughter from the dead. So he had a pretty good journey going through there, you know. And you know what? That same God's here. Amen. The same God's here to take us and make us clean, yes. To clean us up. And not be afraid to touch us. He wasn't afraid to touch her. He, you know, grabbed her by the hand, grabbed her by the face. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Malachi 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you, not the world, he's going to send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Revelation 10, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, we're here. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing till the reading of the word. I thought that was so real that that sometimes we just think, well, you know, she just kind of crawled through there and touched his garment. It was a one-and-done thing. She'd been suffering for 12 years. Suffering. Alone. And all the blood that was that she was losing in her body, that her body had to make back up, and they didn't have things like iron pills and all kind of stuff that you can take now. She was just so drained, but you know what? She said, let me just touch his garment. Tonight, let's just touch his garment. We can hold Jesus tonight. By the new birth, you can hold him. But let's just try to touch the hem of his garment tonight and be made whole. And let virtue and strength come from him. Well, he is the Word. He's the Word of God. Now, Zechariah 4, we were talking about Sunday, looking at all these scriptures that are pertaining to us. I mean us, not to somebody else, us. It pertains to us, the bride in the end time. Amen. All right? So these are, like I said, this is not, we've not gone back into Bible days. Bible days has come here.
Yeah. Right.
We can't go back. We don't need to go back into Bible days. Bible days is coming here. Because what's going to happen, I'm going to tell you right here at the very end, the end of the sermon, Brother Branham was prophesying forward. He tried and he was trying. He was getting those Pentecostals out. He was telling them, come out of her, my people. And as Zerubbabel means sown in Babylon, so he had to come out of Babylon. Right. He had to come out of those Pentecostal churches. He wanted to bring the people with him. But he was not sent to them. He was sent to a group of people forward. Because to be the final voice of the final age, while he was here, he was the voice, but not the final voice. Come on. He was the voice of God for our age, but he wasn't the final voice. The final voice is him through a bride. I don't say him, Brother Branham, him, Jesus, in a bride. That's the final voice. He told us that. He said, you're the final voice under your messenger. You're the final voice to the final age. And I believe that the only voice that God has now is his bride. Sure, we have him in tape and book form, but my, you can listen to him all the days of your life and still die and go to hell.
Right, that's right.
But once that voice comes alive in your heart and then it speaks out, it comes to a revelation that has never been known to man since Jesus was here. And they literally didn't understand him when he was here. You keep watching that movie. I mean, they all scratch their head. They've never seen a man like this. Never a man, they said the Bible, never a man spoke like this. Well, I say that same thing with Brother Branham. Not a man you'll ever hear in your life will ever speak like that man. But now that voice is in us in a multiplied form. In the bride, speaking to the people. The people are reacting. Listen, folks, the people are going to react to the message of this hour. The bride will react. Now, if you're not bride, it's just going to be something that you just, it's a ritual. Amen? But it's got to be something real. It's got to be something that you can identify with. That's what I want you to see from now, from here till we get finished with this church age, you may say, that we are identified with everything that's going on in this church age. It's been spoken of us. Now we're living it.
Amen.
And we're going to live. But we're living it right now. We're walking through the Bible. All the prophecies, we're walking right through them right now. All the prophecies of the end time. As Brother Ryan has been feeding me some scriptures, and I've been finding some about the end time that's specific to the end time. Wow, there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
Zechariah 4, verse 5. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. This is Zechariah. This is the angel talking to him. He answered and spake unto him, to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Now watch what happens. All right. Who art thou, O great mountain? Question. All right. It's what the angel's asking.
Right.
Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Now, the headstone doesn't come down here.
Right.
Sure, it's a message that is included, but the headstone is up here. There has to be a building built before the headstone can come down on it.
Amen. Right.
So Zerubbabel helped us get all the way. I say, listen to me. Helped us get all the way to here. And then his message will bring the headstone. But it will only come through a group of people. It will not come through one person anymore.
Amen.
We are headstone people. We are thus saith the Lord people. We are the people that the ends of the earth has come upon. We are the people that these examples of all the Old Testament has come to us today. Oh, we ought to be happy. I was so happy when I was watching that, and I thought, Lord, how many people really understood what she was going through? How many people really understood why she didn't touch you? She knew a little something, but if I can just touch his, just his garment, just his garment. I believe God placed that in her heart. But I believe he may have placed that in many people's heart, and they don't do it. Because I believe God spoke to more people than just Abraham, but he knew Abraham was the one that would respond. Because God not a respecter of persons. That's why the Brother Branham stood and preached to hundreds of thousands of people. And this is all that's left. Hundreds of thousands of people, and this is what's left. It's me and you. A small group. Brother Branham said a small group out of a group. I want to be that group out of a group. Because there's two spirits working in the framework of the church. One true, one false. Don't you think one thing's for sure, that the Antichrist is watching what we're doing? Well, we know who he is. We know he's a devil, but he's watching what we're doing. He's imitating. He cannot be the original.
Amen.
You and I are the original. That's why I said we're not a type.
That's it.
He's trying to type after us. Satan's watching us to see what we're going to do. And then he'll make a move. So we need to watch and wait. Be those five wise virgins.
Yes.
That's who we are. If you're a bride, your whole Christian experience is in those five wise virgins.
Right.
Lamp trimming time, knowing when to get up, knowing when to get oil,
yes.
Being a virgin. And when he calls, you know his voice.
Amen.
There's a lot of people don't know his voice. They know who he is. They know he died on a cross. And you know that, I was thinking last night too as a paradox, if that poor guy that played Jesus ain't born again, but you're not going to say that. I'm not going to say that to a bunch of people, but it's important to be born again. You can play Jesus all you want to. You can play this one or that and the other and all you want to. But God don't want that. He wants originality. But it is, I'm not saying it is really good to watch that, because he does a super job of making Jesus human. Winking at people, calling Lazarus Laz. Yeah, like that's his buddy Laz. Oh, Laz, how you doing, buddy? Then they start playing ball together, and of course there's a perfect one standing there, and he can't even pick a ball up. So that's the God we serve. He's hiding in simplicity. He came down here to be imperfect so that you and I could be perfect. What a mighty God we serve. So he's going to bring forth the headstone. He's going to bring something down that's never been brought before. And it's here now. It's not coming, folks. It's here now. That's why I said we're not looking for it. The prophecy was made, but we're standing in the prophecy right now. We've had a Zerubbabel that was sown in Babylon but came out. He brought the headstone message, the seals. And he did it with his hands, which hands means power. And we talked about that plummet, or we call it a plumb bob, which is a leveling tool. And what Brother Branham had to do, he had to level this thing up. He had to level this. The Word of God didn't need leveling. Man needed leveling. Because man got unlevel. But God sent us a tool. Call William Branham to bring that thing right back to where we can say, that ain't nothing but the truth, just like Hattie Wright did.
Right, that's right, amen.
You just got to start believing this message, folks,
right.
That God sent it to you. He didn't send it to your neighbor, he sent it to you.
Amen.
And listen, what are we going to do about it?
Come on.
Right.
The Bible says go on to perfection.
Right.
Not being babies anymore that you have to feed them bottles, and we got to grow up.
Yeah. Right.
We've had a grown-up message.
Right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We've had a grown-up message. So what are we doing about it? So in Kings, we read this Sunday. I'll read it again. It came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor answer nor any that regarded. In other words, they were bringing their doctrines to Mount Carmel and their doctrine was going to bring their God.
Right.
Doesn't your doctrine bring your God?
Yeah.
Good or bad? Right or wrong? Your doctrine is what your God is your doctrine. When you say, well, I believe he's one of three, that's your doctrine. Well, we know he's one true and living God. Yeah, that's our doctrine.
Right.
And it's the real one. Amen. It's not the false one.
Yeah.
It's the real
that's
one.
Right.
Amen.
They prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. So we know in the end time is when this happened. We know these in types. I'll go through it real quick. So Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took all those stones, which are revelations, and he put them right back in order. And then he actually also put the sticks in order. That's what he says. He put the sticks in order the way they're supposed to. He cut the sacrifice up the way it was supposed to, laid it on the altar, and then that's when God came on the scene. You and I have got to get this thing right. We've got to get our rocks in place. We got to get our revelation in place. We got to get our sticks in place. You got to get your sacrifice where it's supposed to be, too. And then God will do exactly what he did on Mount Carmel. He'll come down and consume you.
Amen.
So let's read 2 Kings. I was thinking about this a few minutes ago. I just added it in there. This is Elijah and Elisha. Now remember, Elisha types who? Elisha types the bride, right? All right. Elijah took his mantle. Now that mantle means glory, splendor, and magnificence. It's also a shawl. But it had some power behind it. It had some anointing on it. Probably if you saw it, you didn't think much of it. But there was power behind it. He smote the water and they were divided hither and thither so that the two went over on dry land. Now remember, when those two went across, let me tell you how this is. When those two went across, there was 50 sons of the prophet standing on the bank with them. Read your Bible. 50 sons of prophets, which they had a hard time. They had some real bad revelation because they was going to drink something or eat some porridge that was poison until what? Until Elijah showed up and throwed something in the pot.
Right.
You need a prophet to make everything right.
Amen.
You got to have a prophet. You can't be a son of a prophet. Sure you can be, but look how they got it wrong. You need a prophet. You need a prophet to tell you these things. And we had a prophet to tell us these things.
Amen.
Elijah said unto Elisha, when they were gone over, Elisha said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Remember, he did 8. Elijah did 4. We're doing signs and wonders all over the world. All over the world. So Brother Branham's message is not dry, and it's still moving.
Right.
There's people still being healed.
Yeah, that's right.
And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee. Now we're getting into Revelation here. Hang on a second. It shall be so unto thee, but if not. In other words, if you don't see me go, you're not going to get a double portion.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of people hadn't seen him left yet.
Right.
Or that he's coming back.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
Don't get quiet. Because Elijah said, if thou shalt see me when I'm taken away,
right,
it shall be so unto thee. And it came to pass as they went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. There wasn't no coming back of Elijah.
Amen.
And he saw him no more. he got a revelation. Elijah wasn't coming back no more. And that revelation caused him to get a double portion.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. That's what he said. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two. He took also the mantle that Elijah fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Now, what was that mantle? It was an anointing.
Right.
The bride has the same anointing. Elijah's gone. Elijah's not coming back until he comes back at the resurrection. But he's not coming back to preach. Elijah never preached another sermon. Once he's gone, he's gone. Moses, thy servant, is dead. Sometimes we need to cut things off and forget about the past. We got to move forward. God wants us to move forward. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell and went back and stood by Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. He was not questioning where he was. He was just saying, wherever that God is, he's right here. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And that's the same with me and you. But you know what happened a little bit later on, Brother Bob? I was reading the scripture a little bit further. Them 50 prophets, what'd they say? Well, can we go look for him? Sounds like today, don't it?
Amen.
Can we go? Yep. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Can we go look for him? And Elisha said, don't go.
Right.
And they said, we think he might be over there on the mountain somewhere. We think he might be back in the woods. Elisha said, go ahead. They came back and they said, we can't find him. He said, I told you. I told you not to go.
That's right.
You wasted your time.
Amen.
I know we don't at this church, but there's a lot of people waste their time sitting around waiting for Brother Brown to come back.
Amen.
I said waste their time.
Right.
This message is too precious to sit on our rear end and not do anything and think we can wait for something to come.
Amen.
That's not even scriptural. Never has been scriptural. I just want Jesus to come back. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that healed me. He's the one that revealed this message to me. I want him to come back. And he is here in his people. But don't you want to see him one day? Don't you want to look at him? That's what I was thinking about that woman sitting there that he had just healed. She was looking. Now, not literally, but one day, that woman was looking literally in the face of Jesus. Those people that walked with the real Jesus 2,000 years ago, they were looking right in the face of God.
Amen.
And what did they do with him? They killed him. They do the same to me and you. Who you think you are? A son and daughter of God that has a revelation that'll take us out of here. That's what I contend to be. Matthew 17, verse 9. They came down from the mountain. Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, I went back and looked. And just to clear up something, because I know Luis interpreted this for me one day at Brother Samuel Reyes' church. I preached on that. The Bible, original Bible, the diglot, and the interpretation that he was reading out of his Spanish Bible, it doesn't say again. Right. So you had to tell the people. You had to stop. Remember, we had to tell the people that because they were all going, where did you get that from? Well, I contend that whoever wrote this, which we know it was the scribes that when King James said here, you know, they put two people in a room, give them the same scripture, and they came out with all this together. They had to be some kind of revelation there for them to add that word again. Everybody with me? They didn't just add that. Just because they wanted to add it. There was something to that that I believe that the Holy Ghost said, all right, put this in just for an end time bride. Put this in just when somebody can look and say, Brother Branham stood one day and he said, you've crucified the Son of Man. You put him back on the cross and put him to an open shame. You've killed him again. Well, there's that scripture. Until the Son of Man be risen again from what? The dead denomination we were in. The deadness we're still in.
Amen.
So that's for us.
Amen.
Don't it make you happy that you can look in the Bible and see yourself?
Amen.
And what's happening in your time right now?
Right. Amen.
That's it.
One day it'll strike some of you. That they're cold as a pickle in the wintertime. Why do we keep saying pickles? We keep picking on pickles. Let's don't pick on pickles. That's what Brother Ram said. I know. And it's, yeah, okay, I'll use it. And his disciples, that's just what we all go to, you know. Useless as a bump on a pickle. Well, there's bumps on a lot of things that's useless. Just to wake you up for a minute. Look, his disciples asked him, said, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And we know for a fact, see, they were standing there in the coming of the third Elijah. Everybody with me, John the Baptist. They were standing in that anointing. Because John had come, he was already in prison or may already have been killed by this time. So their thought was not on our Elijah that came to us. Come on, we're disciples now. That thought is on us now. We realize, we know by the end time message, the Son of Man has to rise again in the end time in a bride.
Amen. Amen.
And it had to come through an Elijah anointing. But they're asking this question in verse 10, according to Malachi 4. Like I said before, the Jews know Elijah has to show up before the coming of the Lord.
Right.
They just missed the first coming. They're going to get the coming through the two prophets.
Right.
Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. We know one thing for sure. That was not John the Baptist's job. That was Brother Branham's job. That was number four's job, to restore the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. To restore all these loose ends that we have had down through time. That's what's bound God, folks. It's false doctrine. God can't work all the way in false doctrine. When they had showed that the movie last night, when he walked into Jairus' house, and those people were, you know, they were wailing, and the guy was playing the flute, and he said, stop. And then remember, he said, well, we're doing this because they're dead. He said, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they laughed at him. They didn't laugh after a while. But remember what he had to do? Brother Ryan said he couldn't heal that girl till he got all that unbelief out of the house.
Amen.
He took Peter, James, and John, the mom and the daddy, and that was it.
Right.
And raised that girl up. Even Jesus, in his humanity, even Almighty God, had to get the unbelief out of the house so he could heal that person.
Amen.
Amen. See what unbelief will do for you?
Yes.
See what unbelief will do for you? It'll let God can't work the way he wants to.
Right. Right. Amen.
That's why we're called believers.
Right.
When we first come in the message, I know a lot of you have been in it for a long time, and we come in the late 60s and a lot later, you know, some of y'all later on than that. But wasn't it refreshing to know that you had something that you had read for years, if you were a Christian, if you were not, if you just come from the world? It was all fresh.
Amen.
But you read the Bible way different now than you read it back then.
Right.
Same words, same version. But you look at it and you go, wow, why didn't I see that before? Why didn't I see it that way before? It's so plain what happened in the garden.
Amen.
They ate an apricot, or they ate an apple. Well, isn't that what they always say? I mean, everybody, there ain't hardly many people believe that somebody called me yesterday and asked me a question about they dug up those bones of those Cro-Magnon men. They have these different eras, right? Some of y'all that know what I'm talking about, if you took science in school, in different eras, they had a man, and they're really saying he evolved from a monkey because he walked down like this and had a real flat head. They found the bone, so the person had to be there.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
But somebody asked him, why they look like that, and we look like us now, why they look like that? Because when they put the skin around them, they do look kind of animalistic. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Cain. The beast. That was that line.
Amen.
I'll promise you, Abel didn't look like Cain. And Cain didn't look like Adam.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
He looked like an animal almost.
Right.
So that's just, and that tells you the whole story. But you go tell that to somebody, and they're like, "What do you mean? It was an apple. Well, it was an apple that made them people look like that. No, it was a mystery." That thank God you and I can look at those pictures and know that wasn't evolution. We didn't come from monkey. But there was a beast. Now you can't go away from there was a beast in between the monkey and the man.
Right.
That looked kind of this way and kind of this way.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
So there had to be a little bit of DNA coming out of here and over here to make it look like that. To make it look like what they'll call cavemen. Looking like the old cavemen. Well, that's where it come from. Had to be Cain's children. Had to be. Because the beast was done away with, so you can't put him in there. But you got to have Cain and all of his descendants with that DNA in it going down through time and developing. And then they got mixed back and forth, and everybody comes in like we're doing right now. We all look maybe not so much like monkeys, but we act like them sometimes. Well, praise the Lord, there's a little history lesson, science,
amen.
History.
Right.
Kids, write that down. Yeah. But I say unto you, don't do that, and don't do it in school. Don't say that there's a beast in the, no, don't do that, no. Let your mom and daddy do it if they need to. But don't go around telling people that Eve had relations with the beast. And it's okay. Just listen to what we're saying, and you'll learn later on. While we're in such shape we're in. But I say unto you that Elias has come already. Now, Jesus is telling them he's come already.
Right.
Now, he ain't talking about number four now. He's talking about number three.
Yeah.
Right? Because three is there.
Right.
And they know what happened to John. They know what's happening to John. They know that John's either in prison or already had his head cut off. Because he said, but they have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he's speaking to them with John the Baptist. We can see that, but we also see that our Elijah's in there too. Because
right.
He restored all things. Brother Branham, that gift that he had, sure, is like we were talking about. It was a minor, but it brought the people, tried to get them to a major.
Right.
All right? Because we don't major on gifts.
Right.
We major on the Word of God being correct.
Amen.
Not the Word of God being correct, what we see of the Word of God being correct. The Word of God's always been correct. There's never been a time when the Word of God was incorrect.
Right.
Man has made it incorrect by their what? Jesus even stood there and said, by your traditions you've made the Word of God of none effect. And he was talking about the Old Testament. They hadn't even started writing the New Testament yet.
Right.
So remember this messenger in Malachi 4. We got to split it apart because one thing he's going to do, he did it in the early part of his ministry, and the second part he did in the later part of his ministry. According to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. 2, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths. Now listen, you have got to be a student of divine revelation.
Yes. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Right.
You got to be. It's a requirement.
Amen.
Right.
That we be college students now. Not elementary kids.
Amen.
It's required to understand these things.
Right.
But if you have a problem with what we're fixing to get into, which is going to be the I don't say deep, it's not deep, but the mysteries of God are deep to people that ain't been digging in them.
Amen.
Right.
Exactly.
One more time. The mysteries of God are mysteries until you dig into them.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay? The hidden revealed truths is something you got to work on.
Right.
Something I've got to work on. Something I got to study and you got to study.
Right.
It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. But consider this. This prophet messenger will be in the nature and manner of Elijah, so we know that, and John. The people of this prophet messenger's day. Now watch. The people. Now who is the people? Me and you. The people of this prophet messenger's day will be as they were in Ahab's day and in John's. And since it is only the children whose hearts will be turned, it is only the children who will listen.
Right.
And we were all, when we heard this message and accepted this message, we were all children.
Right.
Because every idea you had was wrong. Every idea, every denomination you came up in, you had to kick all that out. First Thessalonians. I love this scripture because there's three things happen, and it's right here. It's right here. It's not coming. So see, again, the denomination of the world, and I say the denomination of the world, the people that don't follow this message, a shout to them is just, oh, we got some God's coming, you know. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. All right, here comes the physical Lord. As I told you before, that guy told me one time, said, I'll just be so glad when the eastern sky splits and Jesus walks down out of the clouds. I said, well, if you do, I said, you missed the rapture. And that about blowed his mind. Because he knew what a rapture was. He said, what do you mean? I said, that's God coming as judgment. That's God where every eye will see him. I said, the Bible tells me he'll come as a thief in the night. Then only a certain group of people will know who it is. It won't be a public show. It won't be him where everybody, the whole world. There will be a time, but it'll be in judgment. It will be. Now, he won't come down here as a Savior. Right now, he's here as Savior. He's descending in a message that is a prophetic message that will save you, heal you, and take you in a rapture. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Folks, there's a day that's going to happen. It ain't far off. I know the Bible says that, and see, the Bible even tells you that there's people that says, oh, well, that's been told since the dawn of time. You know, Granny said the Lord was coming. Great-grandma said the Lord, be ready, the Lord's coming. Brother Branham said, it could be any day now, and that's been 60, 70 years ago. But there's going to be a day it's going to happen. And if you're a foolish virgin, you're not going to hear it. You're going to hear it, but you can't go to it because there's nothing you can do about it. Because you didn't study. You didn't come to church. The little foxes that spoil the vine. I tell you, folks, every time I'm away from this pulpit, whoever preaches here, believe you me, don't I? Every one of you know that. I'll send you a note the next day or even that night. I'll say, appreciate the message. You did a good job. Why? I watch it. I don't watch it to see if Bob's doing the right thing. Luis, you should have not said that. I have said that a few times. But so is everybody else. But I listened to get something. Right. I missed a service. Do you do that? Do you do that? Some of you are not shaking your head. Because you don't. And this is a progressive message, folks. This is a progressive ministry. This is not a ministry like anybody I've seen before. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute. You can go to certain places and they'll pick a scripture. They'll preach on that one. They'll go over here and preach on another one on this one the next Sunday. They'll go over here and Aaron's shaking his head. And some of you that's been out preaching, you know that. We preach in a progressive revelation as teaching. All right, well, listen. Some of y'all that went through school, I know some of you, like my brother, wanted to miss a few grades, but on purpose. But you got to go to school to learn. You got to go to school. It's required. This is required. Listen. Watch. That's why that there's going to be no excuse. In this day, none. In other ages before, you can say, I wasn't there. They weren't making tapes. I'm sorry, Lord. Not now. You can get it instantly. I know some of you, Brother Luis, I know for a fact, watches it coming home. If he's preaching, they're watching it coming home on the phone. They're not doing it out of ritual. It's doing it to get something from God. But if you think you know more than the preacher does, then you need to be the pastor. Sorry. But don't get quiet on me. I need to listen to them. They're your pastor too. Them three right there. I just get everything dumped on me. They get to say what they say and walk out.
Amen.
But that's all right. I ain't built for it. But do we have? Is it that important, though? That's my whole point. Is it that important? It is a shout. It is the voice of God speaking to you, whether it's me standing here or any of the other brothers standing here that preaches the word of God, even if we don't say anything that you understand but just a few words. It's a shout. It's a shout to turn our attention. When we first got saved, and we were saying a denomination, come on, guys, we just didn't. There's something about that you didn't want to stay there. You didn't want to stay there. You knew there was something. Like Brother Adam said, that little seed. Well, I know you know what it was. It was the word of God calling your name from somewhere else. Oh, I just got that. I just got that. While you were doing whatever you were doing, there was this word being called somewhere that called your name through the airwaves, and it picked up over there where you were and brought you here. Not brought you here physically, but brought you into this message. Thank God for the message of the hour.
Yes.
And this is the Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout. What? A message, Brother Branham will tell us. The voice of the archangel, which will be coming through the bride. Yes.
Right.
Listen, there's not going to be an archangel go walk over there to the cemetery with a great big old, what do you call them things, shofar, and all the dead come out of the ground.
Right.
Ask somebody you know about that that's not in the message and see what they say. They'll tell you the same thing. They're waiting all this stuff to happen.
Right.
And Brother Brown told the Pentecostals one day, he said, it's already happened and you didn't know it.
Right.
He said, whatever you're saying latter rain. He said, nonsense. You hadn't had the former rain first yet. They were going way past. We don't need to go way past. We need to stay right where we're at. Stay right in the doctrine that we're being told right now.
Right.
Shout the voice of the archangel. And the trump of God, Brother Brown's called a trump of God. That's when the call to the marriage supper, that's when we take a rapture.
Right.
See, the voice of the archangel is to wake up the dead. That's the resurrection.
Yeah.
Then we're going to be carried away to a marriage supper by when the trump of God sounds. I'll read it to you in just a second. Brother Brown tells us the whole thing right here. A shout. What is a shout? It's the message going forth first, the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride, not the church, bringing forth the bride. Rapture message again. First thing comes when he starts descending from heaven. There's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. We were talking about that Sunday. I was going to bring a lamp. I forgot to. But lamp trimming time is important.
Amen.
To trim a lamp to make it glow the way it's supposed to be without giving off a lot of soot and black stuff, you got to trim it.
Right.
And you know what? It's not real hard.
Nope.
But you just got to do it.
Right.
Amen.
I hope somebody's getting something tonight.
Amen.
Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. Listen, rise and come to sanctification.
Amen.
Trim off all the black. Trim off all the things that make you hard and not so much forgiving.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be forgiving people.
That's right.
Forgiving people.
Because
yep. Right. That's what our master was. He was forgiving. Look at all the times you'll even see in the movie. He'll just forgive them with their sins. And then the people around him are like, wow, what'd he do? He forgave them with their sins. You know what? If you lose somebody from bondage, if they ask you something, you've loosed them from their sins.
Right.
Remember, he said, what I bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. What I loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
It's a message to get the people together. A message come forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. What watch was it? The seventh, not the sixth. It's Malachi 4 time. It's Luke 17, Isaiah, all these prophecies that he can perfectly set in order for this day in the scripture. We see it living right there.
Amen.
That was in 1965. What about today? Now watch Brother Branham. He gets real specific here. Like I said last Sunday, this is just a few days, 20 days before he died. He's coming down to the end of his message. He's just like Jesus. Jesus told him a lot of many times. He said, don't worship me, worship the Father. I'm not your master. This worship God. But when they come to that night of that communion, he said, you say, I'm your master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. He was honing it down. To say, yes, I'm he. And I'm not going to be here a long time, but I want you to realize that's who I am. Brother Brown wanted people to realize, watch this. When I went forth into the meetings with you, who is he talking to? The people sitting there, the Pentecostals, praying for the sick, it was fine. But when I come with a message, if any message goes forth, it's a true message. If it's the true, genuine miracles of God and hangs right in that organ, now watch. If it's the true, genuine miracles of God and hangs in that organization, you know it's not of God.
Right.
Because that thing's already declared. In other words, that thing's already been declared to be dead.
Right.
That's what he's telling them. Jesus went forth and healed the sick in order to catch their eyes, the people, then his message. It has to have something that God is going to introduce. That's why, people, if you still hang on divine healing and all the miracles of Brother Branham, you're behind.
Yeah, right.
You're behind. You're in the first part. You're in the first pull. We're third pull. You're in the first pull or even the second pull. We got to be third pull people, and we will explain that also a little bit later on. All right? So just believe it right now. We're third pull people. It has to have something that God is going to introduce. Divine healing, his miracles like that, just catch the eyes of the people. The main heart of it is the message. Have we caught that?
Right.
That's what comes in from in here. He's trying to get the favor of the people so they'll sit and listen to him, for there's some in there that's ordained to life. He didn't say there's some there that need to be healed. He said there's some there that's ordained. In other words, the healing of the soul.
Right.
Now, the first thing sounds, first thing is a trumpet. Now, he got a little mixed up. Now, shout, a voice, and then a trumpet. Shout is a messenger getting the people ready. We have heard that messenger. We have fulfilled that scripture. We have heard the shout.
Amen.
99% of the world have not, but we heard the shout. You and I are under that shout. What are we doing about it? The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice, loud voice in St. John 11 that called Lazarus from the grave. And who was that? It was the Son of Man.
Right.
God standing in human flesh in front of a tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. Getting the bride together and then the resurrection of the dead to be caught up with it. Now watch these three things take place. A shout, a voice, a trumpet. Now, the third thing is a trumpet, which always at Feast of the Trumpets, calling the people to the feast, and that'll be the bride's supper, the Lamb's supper with the bride in the sky. We get married here, and then we go to a marriage supper in the sky, or actually in another dimension.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
I'm not going to read. Well, you know what happened to the 10 virgins? There's 5 wise, there's 5 foolish. All right? Listen, they both heard the bridegroom call, by bridegroom call, all right? And at midnight, there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. All the virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps.
Right.
What are foolish virgins? They're sanctified believers.
Yeah.
Come on. It's not devils.
Nope.
They're sanctified believers.
Right.
Now, they stopped in their journey. They didn't get any oil. They didn't get the Holy Ghost. They were told that just believe the message and press play. Anyway.
<Go ahead>.
And then the foolish, at least they weren't so foolish to not know where to go get it, Brother Bob. They go to the ones that got it.
Right.
Amen.
Give us your teaching. We haven't been taught that.
Yeah.
We've been taught different. Come on, don't get quiet.
Right.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Those foolish virgins are foolish virgins that's going to be given eternal life. They're foolish, but they're virgins. They're trying. They're trying all they can hear from a pulpit.
Right.
But if a pulpit can't preach it, they're not going to get it.
Right.
Foolish son unto wise, give us your oil. for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Mm-hmm. The door was shut.
Right.
We better know where we are.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's identifying himself as he promised. Much more we could say. This is 1964. In these last days, as Son of Man, making himself known among his people in the form of his people. Not one person in his people.
Right.
There is no Son of Man ministry without people.
Right.
Yeah. Now, when the first Son of Man was on earth, he was the Son of Man.
Right.
Ordained to come the way he came. Everybody with me? There was no other Son of Man manifestation nowhere. He was it.
That's right.
That's why he was a headstone. The Son of Man was the headstone to the church. But what did they do? They rejected him. He had to go away, come back as the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
Yes. Come back in the form of the Holy Ghost, in the people, but promised in the end time to come back again and do the same thing, but in a many-membered body, not just one person.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. He said that himself.
Amen.
So he comes in the form of his people, not Son of God. Now watch, not Son of God. So what does a prophet do? He's turning a corner. He's bringing us from the church ages. He's transitioning us to the perfection in this age.
Right.
Not Son of God, not Son of David, but Son of Man. The Son of God was the supernatural. Like Abraham, he seen voices, heard things, seen lights. But just before the promised Son come, what did God do? He showed up.
Amen.
At Adam's tent. Abraham's tent.
Right.
A man in human flesh read the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart in the room behind him. He said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of God coming, when the Son of Man shall be being revealed. The Son of Man being revealed. Not the Son of God in the church age. Everybody with me?
Right.
This is different. I was looking at my church age book. It's closed. It was open during this whole time we were talking about the church ages.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to make a point here.
Right.
It's closed now.
Right.
Because there's nothing in that book. I don't say, listen, don't get me wrong. Brother Brown talked about the church ages. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But now you and I are the people that's living that.
Right.
All those other ages are dead.
Right.
People are already gone. Churches are already gone. Ministers are already gone.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
We are at the end of the book.
Yes.
Right.
Listen, don't ever believe that we don't need a church age book no more. You better read that thing like that one with the cover off of it. But what I'm saying is, I don't have to go back and say, well, let's look at the history of Brother Branham. No, we lived it. Sister Cleta actually lived it. Brother George Canada, Brother Mike Canada, different ones, they actually lived it. Saw the manifestation. Saw what was happening.
Right.
And thank God we have them still here with us.
Amen.
But it's not the Son of God in the church age. Now, do we believe Brother Branham was a prophet or not? When are we going to make that transition? We got to step up.
Right.
Can't do away with the Son of God.
Nope.
But there's a manifestation of the Son of Man that's going to be it. Listen, Martin Luther had the Holy Ghost.
Right.
John Wesley had the Holy Ghost.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
But they didn't have all the Word.
Right.
They were reformers.
Amen.
They still were Trinitarians. God can't anoint a Trinitarian doctrine.
Right.
Brother Brown said it come from the pits of hell. So God can't anoint that. But what about a prophet in the end time, though? He's brought us to a place till he stood one day and he said, that come from the pits of hell. You don't need to. There's not a Father, Son, Holy Ghost. There's not a Trinity. There's not three gods.
Right.
There's one God.
Amen.
That was his whole message.
Right.
And as I think Brother Bob the other day, we were talking about up here. That first seal shows you that there's only one God.
Amen.
Right.
When that book opened to reveal The mystery was, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. And there goes two people of the Trinity. No, that's not what he said. He said, if you have two, he said, therefore one's got to be God and one's got to be the devil. That's the mystery of iniquity. He taught them right. Now, if they didn't believe it, it's on them.
Amen.
The message to us, folks, you say, oh, that was them over there. They didn't know nothing. Let me tell you something. If you do the same thing here, that's why iniquity shall abound.
Right.
Knowing to do better and don't do it.
Right.
We've had the full 7-course meal.
Right.
We know how. Listen, we know how to be Christian.
Right.
We know what to do by letter. But do we do it by life? Not the Son of God in the church age. He's put out of that. Now he's Son of Man revealing himself. The Word is becoming flesh among us. I contend that this year you're going to see a difference in the bride. I didn't say church. You're going to see a difference in this year coming up. This will be 2025. There'll be a difference in the bride.
Amen.
The bride, but now remember, the bride will never be bad. Ever.
Right.
You say, oh, we'll lose members and we'll lose. If we lose members, it's just members.
Right.
Well, I'm going to preach anyway.
Right.
It's just members.
Right.
I said bride.
Amen.
Bride will never leave this message. Bride will never walk away from this message. Ever walk away from it. So the mysteries will be revealed in the last day when the seven angels church message comes. Not when he starts out doing this. What? Healing campaign. When he begins to sound his message, not in the years of preparation. Listen, that was the years of, they needed the years of preparation. Even we did. When we first come in the message, what did they do? Well, some of you, I know you did. They handed you what, a church aid book or a seal book? Your daddy did, right?
Yep.
Is that all right?
Seal book, yep.
Seal book? All right. Well, it's like daddy said, you need to lay that aside and get the church aid book. Seal book may choke you. Okay. Well, it did. But they handed you a church aid book. And when you read that church aid book, that was okay. But when you got to listen to the tapes, don't tell me you didn't. You were enamored with that manifestation of the Son of Man at the end of the message. When he stood there and told them the thoughts and intents of the heart. Most of you are shaking your head yes.
Amen.
Now, you listen to the tape, no doubt. But you wanted to listen to that. When you got to that, that awed you.
Right.
It should have. But remember, that's a minor. That's supposed to get your attention.
Right.
To when you listen to the next tape, you don't wait till the end. Because listen, if he calls out Susie and her car color and her house number, that ain't going to save your soul.
Right.
It really didn't save Susie's soul either.
Right.
It was a healing ministry. That healed prostitutes as well as Christians. So it's not in the years of preparation. That's not what we're looking at now. Not the years in preparation, but when he begins to sound the message, these mysteries will be revealed. And here they are. Listen to a prophet. And here they are, not knowing them, and you people are witness of that. Oh, how about that?
Right.
I'm going to tell you. You people are witness of that too. What you going to do with it? You going to sit there and sleep your life away or what?
Right.
Something's got a spark in here.
Right.
Or you're just going like you are. That's just, yeah.
Amen.
Trying to watch what Brother Brown said. Now look, this is end time seed time, but we're going to get the spoken words riddle seed real quick. Then we'll close. The word has been sown. All right. Denominations will reap denomination. That makes them confederate themselves together.
Right.
Amen?
Exactly.
You watch this coming up year, and the next year if we make it, there's going to be a church and state come together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
I think we just elected a Constantine.
Yeah.
Well, we may get cut. Because that's what he's been wanting to do, bring church and state together. Well, listen, when Constantine brought church and state together, who got persecuted?
Christians.
One more time?
Christians.
Christians. Real, true Christians are the ones that got persecuted.
Right.
Not all bride's bride. Them people that were praying for him, that's okay, that's fine, that's all right. But if they ain't bride, that didn't do them no good.
Right.
It just brought them their Constantine to make them act that way.
Amen.
That's just the way I feel.
Right.
Because there's nothing good going to come out of any of this.
No. That's right.
Except me and you being driven closer to God.
Right.
And to be driven closer to God, we got to be driven out of the world.
Right.
That's where our persecution is going to come from. It's going to come from the religious world.
Right.
Sinners don't bother us.
Yes.
Who bothers you more than anything? A religious person.
Your own family.
I think I'll preach. But the word of God has been sown also.
That's right.
Well, it's time to be plain. I mean, we've got to be different.
Amen.
Something inside of us has got to be different than the world.
Right.
But the word of God has been sowed also. And when the Spirit of God begins to fall, watch. When the Spirit of God begins to fall, the word of God will live in the people.
Amen.
So I pray the Spirit of God begin to fall.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And that false bride that's committed adultery out there and brought herself into creeds and sold out her birthright will reap what? A Constantine. A confederation of church that's to be bound and burned like the thorns and thistles. But where the word of God's been sowed into the people's heart, it will reap a bride for Christ, as certain as I'm standing here, end time signs.
Right.
Birkenward's original seed. The seed's been planted. There's a planting time and a harvest time. Now, there's been three different kinds of seeds planted. A denominational Billy Graham. He was the head planter. Oral Roberts for the Pentecostals. Pentecostal seed has been planted. I'm talking about organization now. And when the word, and then the word has been planted. In other words, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and his message.
Right.
And then the word has been planted. Now you'll have to understand, folks, I ain't saying this no more unless God tells me. I want you to get this good and clear. Three seeds has been planted. That's the reason the planting, it's about over. That was 1962. Seeds must be planted before the rain falls. Or otherwise, the Spirit. Now, you're going to disagree there, but hold on just a minute. Seeds must be planted, and then the rain falls to water the seed. Now, we're hearing so much in so many organizations and everything else talking about we're in the latter rain. Nonsense. You and I are in the latter rain. They were not. They were getting their teaching rain, thinking that it was their harvest rain. That's how deceived they were. Now listen, God didn't deceive them, the devil did. Nonsense, no such a thing. Seeds have been planted. Let's continue on just a second. I believe that the word of God has been planted, unadulterated, away from any of those organizations. That's what's the matter. What? In other words, it's separating.
Right.
The seed plant must have seed water before it can grow.
Yeah.
It must have water, and you see that water is capitalized.
Yep.
Yeah. That's
right.
Before the seed has been planted, it can grow. They said a million more in 44. The teaching rain went forth. Billy Graham struck the world, Pentecostal. The word has struck the world. Now, what's the matter now? She's now waiting for the latter rain. But remember, the latter rain is the harvest rain.
Right.
Amen.
The latter rain harvests mature plants, mature seed.
Right.
There was no mature seed back then to take a rapture.
Amen.
The mature seed is here now.
Amen.
We got to start showing it, folks. It's here. That's what I'm saying. We preached all this all of our life. This thing's here.
Amen. Amen.
The actors are on the stage. Everything's ready.
Amen.
That's when she produces her fruit. That's what I said. As it gets harder and harder and harder, people are going to fall away and fall away and fall away. Then the kind of seed you planted in your field will be the crop that you will reap.
Amen.
So now Brother Branham goes through all this spoken words original seed. 6 hours. Everybody with me? 6 hours.
Right.
3 in the morning, took a break. 3 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it.
That's an idea. 3 hours? Okay. But I look, this is 1962. Here's my point. Look, I made that big. I already showed you this one time. I'll show you again. This was 1962.
Right.
Brother Branham had preached Daniel 70 weeks. He had preached the church ages. He had preached on the seals, but he preached them all in one sermon. You've heard this before if you've been here long enough. Brother Dale told us this a long time ago. All these different things have been preached that Brother Branham thought, well, I've got them. This is my message. I'm done.
Yeah. Right.
There's nothing else to do. This is when, right here, paragraph 430, right before that, Brother Branham said, the Holy Ghost told me to pick up my pen and write this right here.
Right.
So we can believe it or not. But this comes straight from God. God has promised, be careful. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. I bet that was a shocker to him when he started writing that down. But it must be fulfilled. For it is a germatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It's just before the coming of Christ the second time. Listen close now. All scripture that has not been fulfilled must be before that time. The Bible is to be finished. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age when this anointed messenger arrives. Of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the messenger in the former rain. He's identifying who he is without telling them it's him. Then he will be rejected by the denominational people, as his forefather, John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord. 1962, he was still accepted.
Yeah.
1962, he could go and preach just about anywhere he wanted to. But when he come to Spoken Word's original seed, then he started preaching the seals. Then he got on to marriage and divorce. Then he got on to why am I against organized religion and really bringing out the serpent seed.
Yeah.
They started cutting him off.
Right.
You know why? They weren't right seed
right.
for the right time.
That's right.
All right. One last thing. I'm going to skip all the way through this. We'll get to this a little bit later. But I want to bring you this last thing. Don't get sick watching this. We know it's the Son of Man ministry.
Right.
And we're in the days of the voice. We know that, right? All right.
Amen.
So I don't have to read that again. Watch. Brother Brown's preaching on the this is a church age book. All right. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years until in this last day there's again another people in the land.
Right.
Do we believe Brother Brown was a prophet?
Amen.
We believe he's prophesying. He's seeing something come.
Right.
Who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Now remember, when he's standing there preaching this, and when they redid the church age book, it was right about time of the seal, so it was 63, when they put it all together. This is a compilation. This is your church age book. This is not the individual message.
Right.
Yes, sir, the church is no longer, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. In other words, Catholics are not the mouthpiece of God.
Right.
It has its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride.
Right.
One more time. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her. Now watch in the last chapter of Revelation, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride. The Spirit and the bride says come. It's the same. The Spirit's in the bride, then we only got one voice. Once more, the world will hear direct from God as at Pentecost. But of course, that word bride will be repudiated as in the first age. All right, let me give you something right here, and then we're going to close. Well, musicians, get ready to come. We'll read this later on, next week sometime. But I want to get down to this last part. I want to get down to thus saith the Lord. All right, everybody with me?
Yeah.
Shake yourself for a minute. Just two more minutes. Let me read this. This is 1963. You've heard me quote it. You've heard Brother Dale quote it many times. I'm going to read it to you.
Yeah,
in 1963, on questions and answers on the seals. Now, that was on Sunday. He started preaching the seals. The first seal he preached on Monday. Everybody with me?
Amen.
One, two, three, four, five. Saturday he preached the sixth seal. And he had questions and answers Sunday morning. And then preached the seventh seal Sunday night.
Right.
All right? So are we there? We're sitting in. We're sitting there watching him. All right? We're in the room with him. All right? And then also knowing that right among you, things are happening, see? That I know you, that you don't see it. I'm just positive that you don't see it. Do we still believe Brother Brown was a prophet?
Yeah.
He's prophesying. Because remember, I'm fixing to read it to you. He said, it's thus saith the Lord. It's right here. I hid it for a minute. Now I got to it right here. I'm just positive you don't see it. You say, Brother Brown, that's a hard thing for you to say that. I know it is, but look. Let me just say this now. I suppose this is just on tape for ourselves. I'm glad it wasn't. It was for ourselves.
Right.
And so forth. But let me say this. You don't get it. Now, this is the second time he's told him this. And you're not supposed to get it. Can you imagine a prophet standing there knowing that whole group of people ever, how many hundreds of people in that church at the tabernacle that morning standing around the walls, been listening all week, praising the Lord? He said, you ain't getting it. You're not even supposed to get it.
Right.
All right? So don't try to interpret anything. Don't try to put your interpretation to it. Well, we've seen that before that they have. You only get further away. Just take my advice. If you believe me now, if God has given me favor in your sight, and you know that them revelations and things, I've been here with you a long time, and it's been right. And now to double prove it right, it hooks right in with the word, see, so you know it's thus saith the Lord. So what he's saying is thus saith the Lord. That's exactly, it's proved to you. All
right.
Now, I'm not saying that. It's the grace of God that lets me know what it is. It's something that's tremendous, and it's gone right now, and there's not a way in the world for you to see it.
Amen.
He's fixing to preach the seventh seal. But so help me with this Bible in my hand, I know what it is. So do I. We weren't there. And so, but if the church, you're not supposed to know these things. Wow.
Right.
So don't put no interpretation to anything, see? You just go ahead and remember what you're told. Live a Christian life. Go to your church. Be a real light wherever you are. And just burn for Christ. And tell the people how you love him. And just let your testimony be with love all the time with the people, see? Because if you don't, you'll twist yourself out into something there. And you're off the beaten track.
Right.
So really, it's not for them to understand.
Right.
And if they tried to understand it, they're going to mess it up.
Right.
And they did.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't try to make no interpretation, especially tonight. Now watch. Tonight is what? The seventh seal. Especially tonight when that seal becomes in front of you, see, just don't try to interpret it. You just go ahead and be humble. Go right on with the same plain message. Now, you say, Brother Brown, be in the church of God, shouldn't we? Well, as I was trying, look here. Now, see, he picked up their thought. Somebody's saying, well, we're sitting here. We've been here all week. We surely were picking up something. Right? So I said, well, now, Brother Brown, the church of the living God, shouldn't we? He stops. He said, well, as I was trying, look here. I want to say, why can't I? In other words, why, Brother Brown, why can't I understand this? Right? No, don't. You remember. I'm saying this for your good. I'm saying it so that you'll understand. If you believe me now, listen to what I tell you. See?
Right.
See? Now, here's a post. We'll call that a listening post. And in it, got radio. There's warnings and things can be done, like sword in your hand. See? I can pick from the evil or pick from only as it gets its message. See? Remember, it's just a receptor. There has to be something speaking to it,
right.
And it don't interpret it. It just tells exactly what it said.
Right.
But now, for instance, to the ordinary man, there's been so many cults and clans rise up over little outpourings of the Spirit until people get all worked up in a bunch of stuff. Go out and start another move, and you know things. We've seen it happen. So you don't want to do that now. Now, just stay the way you are. Man, he's telling these people, stay the way you are.
Right.
This is not for you. Now, look, let me show you something. Did you know there's 10,000 voices in this room? Well, if they was 10,000 back then, there's 10 million in this room right now.
Right.
There wasn't cell phones. There wasn't all this internet stuff. There wasn't the wireless stuff in 1964 or 3, as much as there is now. So I promise you, a lot more is going through this room than was during his time.
Right.
So why don't you hear them? You know what he's telling the people? You're hearing me, but you're not hearing me. You have no receptor to pick up what I'm telling you. You're hearing my physical voice, but you're not catching the revelation. They're waving right through here now. There's people, forms and bodies moving right through this room. Same here. Is that right? Well, why don't you see them? They're here. Actual voices look like my voice. Pretty plain. Like my voice. Well, why don't you hear it? See, it's got to strike something first to reveal it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, don't you understand? So just don't interpret nothing. If God wants you to know anything, he'll send it to you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right.
Remember, this is thus saith the Lord. So just be real, real solid now. Hold still. Something has happened. Now, he's not saying this because nothing's happened. Something's happened.
Right.
They just can't get it. There's voices in the room. Voice of God in the room. They're just not hearing it.
Amen.
Don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian. Because you take yourself away from God and you, if you can understand it, this is that third pull. You should have caught that the other day. So then just, you remember, there'll be no impersonation like there was the other two. And we'll cover that later on.
Right.
So that's as far as you should know. Just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room.
Amen.
Am I with me? There's something taking place in this room, and there's something here. There's actual in this room, angels, voice of God. In this room. But how do you can't. If you can't hear the natural voice without something to send it out, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice?
Right.
Now, you might make believe that somebody's singing this certain song that might not even be there, see? But when it actually strikes the crystal that it's supposed to strike. Just call me crystal. But when it actually strikes the crystal that it's supposed to strike, then it gives a true interpretation and vindicates it by showing the picture.
Right.
See what I mean? Now, the Spirit of God, when it speaks through the true word, it vindicates itself to show itself that it's right. You understand now. Let's stand to our feet. What a privileged group of people we are. That when the voice of God does speak through these ministers and teachers and different ones, Sunday school teachers, that we can get something, we can hear the voice of God, not the voice of somebody else. It gives a true interpretation and vindicates it by showing the picture. Amen? You take a television right now with just a set of ears, and you set it right here, and you turn it on, it's going to pick up something. Now, why are we not seeing it? Because we don't have the right receptor. But Brother Branham's telling us, thus saith the Lord, they're not getting it. But it's for us
Amen.
To get. If you'll listen to the voice of God,
Amen.
It'll show the picture.
That's right.
Have you seen the picture yet? You seen the picture where you're supposed to be? Have you asked God, where am I supposed to be, Lord? What am I supposed to be doing? Put me somewhere where I can listen and hear the voice of God and see the voice of God working in a group of people. Because it wasn't for them, but I'll promise you, it's for us. We are that group of people that have the right crystal, that are the right receptors to hear the voice of God when it comes to this room.
Amen.
Are your room at home? Are your truck, your chicken truck? Wherever God decides to speak to you, you have that receptor turned on.
Amen.
And you'll hear what he says. Amen. Let's sing a song.
Man, greater than all my sin.
Greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free.
To do what?
To praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Oh, still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. The grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. And Brother Branham told us, he said, what? In the end time, he said, the bride is the blood by the Spirit.
Amen.
The bride. We're the blood covering. Sorry. If you got Christ in you. Because when we leave, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when we leave? The blood's gone, except going to the Jews. For the Gentiles, there's no more person to be saved. There's no Holy Ghost here to save them. It all goes to the Jews. But let's get it. Let's be the crystal. Let's be the receptor. And just ask God, say, look, Lord, we're coming to a time where we can't play. We're coming to a time where I got to understand what's going on. and put somebody in the pulpit to help me. I said, put somebody in the pulpit to help me. Amen?
Amen.
Do you want that?
Yes.
I want that. I want to go on and be that receptor that God saw. Brother Brown maybe didn't see Terrence Dale standing in a church in Lula, Georgia. But I believe God showed him the bride. And that was bride, but that wasn't the ones there that was supposed to get what he was talking about. But there is a group over here that's going to receive it and get it and live it.
Amen.
Understand it and be a part of this.
Right.
I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left out. I hate being left out.
Yes.
And God will never leave you out if you'll ask him.
Amen.
He's knocking in the door of you too. You're the one that got to let him in. And Brother Bram said, even when he gets into your house, he said, you got doors inside of doors. That if you don't want God to go in there, he was polite, he won't go in there. But let's open all of our doors. This year coming up, we've been talking for 2 or 3 years to let it out. Well, you know what? Let's start using what we've let out.
Yes. Amen.
Let's start. When that message was released from Brother Branham, it began to drop on people and they began to understand. Maybe just a few here and a few there, then they would gather as a church. Then in 1971, we gathered as a church. And then we started under the message of the hour, and then it grew to more churches, and it grew to more churches. Because in 1971, there wasn't many message churches.
Right.
Wasn't many, maybe 2 or 3, 4 or 5 around this area. There was only a couple. But see how it's grown. Because somebody's picked up the receptor of God for their day. It's picked up their favorite radio station. And you're listening to it. Do you go get in your car tonight and you turn on the radio and it's rock and roll? It's in there. All you got to do is find it. If you want to listen to a talk show, you can find it. If you want to listen to Christian music, contemporary or Southern gospel, you can get it. But you know what it takes? It takes you finding it. It takes you finding it. You finding it. Your car's not going to find it for you. You got to find it. You got to find that radio station that you like, that speaks to your soul, that speaks to you in this end time to make us grow and get us out of here. We're going to be tired of this place one of these days, guys. I know we're at ease and we got all these things going good and all that. And Trump may give us something good for the economy. I don't know. I really don't care. But there's something got to happen to just drop this thing like a bomb. Crash it to nothing, according to Brother Branham. All right? But let's enjoy it while we can. Let's enjoy the Word of God while we get together and while we can get together. Let's enjoy it. Just pray for us leaving tomorrow. Be gone for a week, and that the Lord will supply some game. There is some meat still downstairs, some deer meat in the freezer. If you'd like to have some of the sisters already got some, and feel free to get you a pack or two. It's really good. It's got bacon in it, like I said, and it's free for you to have. And we'll if we get any more, the Lord gives us grace to get more game. We'll put more down there and let you have it to eat. So we love you with the love of the Lord. Brother Luis and them's already enjoyed it, and I'm going to enjoy it. June made me some she made me some stew the other day, and now she's made me some chili. So we're going to take that and eat it, and we sure enjoy it. We sure enjoy the Lord letting us go and do things, and it's something that I enjoy doing. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. So you can just pray that the Lord will give us something. Keep us safe more than anything. Keep us safe and give us some good weather. So Brother Bob will be speaking for you Sunday, and Brother Aaron Wednesday night. If you need me, I will be back home Monday because I got to work Tuesday and then turn around and go back. But that'll be the day after a holiday, so just pray for us. So love you with the love of the Lord. We love every one of you. I want to see that group of people with all that crystal together. I want to see the light shine through you.
Yes.
I've been given the opportunity to try to help you, and I appreciate it.
Yes.
And I want you to, everyone, no one to be left behind. No one. If there's something in your heart you say, well, I don't like that person, I hope they get left behind, you're the one that's going to get left behind.
Right.
Well, I don't like them because they don't like me. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven you didn't think. And there's a lot of people going to think you're never going to make it and you're going to make it. One of the two. I mean, you know, so just let the Lord lead. Know you have the new birth. And you'll be there. I mean the new birth, not just an anointing, not just a feeling or an emotion. But you get the new birth, folks, I'll promise you, that's your ticket to heaven. And you'll be there. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this night you've given us. Lord, may we take these things and ponder them in our heart. There was a prophet some years ago, William Branham, that stood and gave his life so he could bring a message. And men gathered around him, and some of them called him God. Some of them called him false. Some of them called him this and that and the other. But Lord, we know he was the prophet to us in the end time. And that we would have a voice along with his voice. And that we would speak in the end time. Human beings becoming the Son of Man. Not in one person, but in a collective body. Because the bride of Jesus Christ, I believe, will be the Son of Man in the end time. You preached that through the prophet for years there to end. To try to get the people to see, but that people were not there. Lord, I know the people are here now.
Yes.
Everything, the players are on the field. I believe everything's ready. Lord, I pray that this year coming up, if we make it even to the year, Lord, that you would manifest yourself through us more than ever before. That we'll see you more than we've ever been able to see you before. And be able to see you through each other, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Be with us on the highways, Lord. And bless us as we come back together on Sunday for Brother Bob and Brother Aaron there Wednesday. Just give them grace and give the people strength to be here, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Of life, I cannot fall.